Sam Ellinger has worn glasses into the studio today. Am I lacking in observation, or is that a rarity? I don't believe you usually come in wearing glasses. Am I wrong about that?
You're not wrong.
Okay.
Maybe 1 out of 10.
Okay.
Maybe less than that.
Okay.
Just a little mood thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes my eyes are feeling it. Sometimes they're not.
Is it because you thought you might have to measure something with an index card in this studio today?
That was great. That was great. $13 billion industry, right?
Someone still needs to explain to me why the index card was folded in half. And there was like space in between the folds, you know? These are things that I want to know. How are you, man?
I'm good. The explanation of that, too, was awesome. Did you see the explanation?
Yeah.
Where he was like, I already made my decision based on a visual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the index card was for theater, basically.
He said he wanted to confirm what he saw with his eyes.
It was for theater.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say something, buddy. After this weekend, after my activity on social media while watching games this weekend, I question what I see, because things that I think I've seen with my own two eyes, I have people telling me I didn't see.
Yep.
You know, I think Marcus Peters forced that fumble. That people tell me, no, he didn't. He didn't force that fumble. Reggie Ragland forced that fumble. Okay. You know, so I don't know. I think I see things. That guy caught that ball, landed on his ass, turned around and reached across the goal line. He didn't catch that ball. So I don't, you know.
It's almost as if they're making it up, man.
Our eyes don't, you know, our eyes only tell us so much.
Right, right. We don't need to get into this, do we? Or you guys probably already
talked
about
it. We got all the time
in
the world, man.
That's a touch. It's got to be, like, as soon as you have the ball and it crosses, like, I just feel like that should be a touchdown.
Have you heard Al Riveron's clear and concise explanation?
Yeah, where he said he caught it.
Completes the pass.
Completes the pass.
Yeah, completes the pass.
That's not the important part of the sentence, though. The important part of the sentence is he's going to the ground.
Yeah. He wasn't touched. The ball was across. Like, I get it. Like, it moved a little bit when his elbow hit the ground, but come on, guys. They need to figure out a way where when people are watching, if 55% of the people think it was a catch, then maybe it wasn't a catch. But if 90% of the people watching think that's a catch and a touchdown, that needs to be a catch and a touchdown.
What I love about that is not only was it not a catch and a touchdown, they overturned it.
Yeah, right, right, right. Yeah, clear and concise.
We're taking points off the board with this. I mean, that's clearly not a catch.
Yep.
The one where he, according to the NFL, completed the pass.
Yeah, well, at least that game has no implications.
It's
for
a
the
terrible rule. As
like
soon
that.
As the ball breaks the plane, it should be a touchdown.
Absolutely.
End of story.
Absolutely.
It's an absolutely terrible rule, because what's the difference between he wasn't a runner, he was a receiver. Yeah. But wait, hold on. He's not a defenseless receiver once he catches the ball and he turns into a runner? Wait, so he's not? I don't get it. Like, at what point in time is a receiver a runner? And what they have all these different explanations of, you know, he just didn't complete that. He's got to complete it all the way through. It's a garbage rule.
It is. But what do you know? The Steelers and Patriots will probably be doing it again in the AFC Championship game, and there will be more controversy in that one.
But now it'll be at Foxborough.
I don't know why this stuff always happens like the tuck rule, too. That was a fumble. No, it wasn't. Because he held on to the ball instead of throwing it, and then it got knocked out of his hands, so it's not a fumble.
Oh, but next year we're doing away with the tuck rule.
You know, it's the NFL. Let's talk Chiefs, though.
Let's do it.
Let's talk Chiefs,
man.
How about that Marcus Peters, huh?
Was he good?
I thought he was good. I've been told by people he wasn't, but I thought he was good.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like he needed to give a better effort on those catches that he gave up in coverage.
He did not give up any catches.
Okay. Well, he should have made some more plays that helped the team.
He forced a fumble.
Oh, he did.
And intercepted two passes. Could have intercepted a third, but Daniel Sorensen and him collided on it.
Well, I'm out. Well, since they are better without him, they probably would have won by... What, 25?
Sarcasm.
I like the snark that's coming from Sam Ellinger this morning. I like
sarcasm.
He was perfect. He played the perfect
game
in a moment.
He didn't tackle that guy when he jumped by the goal line.
The guy got an extra half a yard. And he needed to make that play on that third down pass. He needed to make that tackle short of the sticks.
He did.
Oh. Sorry. He was perfect in a moment that... obviously, it was the biggest game, the biggest game of the Chiefs season, right? We agree about that.
Yeah.
And it was an enormous game for him personally, too. And he's invested in football in a way that few people are anyway, like when he plays any game. But I think that he really looked at this game as sort of a, And how could you not, right? Like, this is, you know, you just got suspended, and it happened to be against the team that you grew up rooting for, like your hometown team. I know that had to hurt him. I know that had to hurt his pride. Apologized to the team. And I think this game meant a little bit more to him. I thought you saw him play. He always plays with energy, but I thought he played with a little bit more and you know, more to the point, a focus that I don't think we've seen much this season. You know, he always plays with energy, but he doesn't always play with focus. And I thought he played, again, the perfect game in the moment that the Chiefs absolutely needed him to be.
I thought the biggest difference I saw in him was a positivity with his body language.
Yeah, there was that too.
And the play that stood out to me was the play where he and Sorensen both had a chance at an interception and
yeah,
kind of took it away
point.
From one another.
Yep.
And instead of getting up and doing the typical throwing his hands out and looking frustrated like he does when somebody completes a pass on him or something bad happens, they hit each other on the head or whatever. It was like two guys laughing like, hey, you know, I could have had that, you could have had that, whatever. It was all good. I guess that stuff matters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it does. Like, we've all played team sports where you got a guy on your team that every time something goes wrong, he's yelling at everybody and he's showing you up. And it's like, yeah, I know I screwed that one up, but you don't need to embarrass me in front of everybody else or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing about Marcus Peters that drives me more crazy than anything is when he does that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think that hurts the team. That I think that brings the team down.
Yeah.
And I thought he changed that. I thought he was very different in that regard.
Yeah, his body language in the Jets game, especially, was horrendous.
Yep.
And I don't think it had been that bad during the season, but there'd been a lot of that. And I have a theory, and I wrote about this a little bit in the game column, that some of this is Eric Berry not being there.
Yep.
And Marcus isn't alone in this, but he reveres Eric. You know, I mean, just reveres him. And I think that Eric is the one guy that can kind of get through with Marcus and sort of change his perspective on things in a way that his other teammates just can't. And so I don't know if it's just a total coincidence that Berry has been around the team a little bit more the last few weeks and this happened. I'm sure the suspension shook him in a way and refocused him. But that was, you know, even those of us that like Marcus as a player and think that he's a good and valuable part of this team can recognize that he hasn't been as good this season as his first two seasons. And some of that is this focus stuff, this body language stuff that you're talking about. And if that suspension kind of recalibrated him in a way to bring out his best, then it's going to be a good thing for them going forward, because that was as good a game as a cornerback can play.
I need to go back, and I don't know if Pro Football Focus is the right place to do this or what is, But you're not the only person to make the statement that he hasn't been as good this year as he's been in the past. He's still been pretty darn good, though, hasn't he?
No. He's gone from whatever adjective,
all pro.
Terrific, yes, to merely very good.
I feel like he's gone from all pro to Pro Bowl.
Sure.
Because this, and this is where, you know, I sent out a snarky tweet about this. I know you and I both commented on it. People are taking it as I'm taking a shot at one person or another, and I'm not, because multiple people sent similar tweets out at one point in the game saying that Marcus Peters was killing this team.
Yeah.
And it had me think. I mean, I was sitting there when I saw that. It was pointed out to me. Jeff Chedid pointed it out to me. He's like, look at all these people. Well, what they said. And I thought, but now, to be fair to the people who might have tweeted that, that was before the interceptions and the forced fumble and all that stuff. But still, it was making me think to myself, what did Marcus Peters do in this game that was killing the team? Well, am I forgetting something? Did I miss a big play he gave up or a huge penalty he incurred or a whiff tackle that led to a touchdown that should have never happened? And I couldn't think of anything. The only thing I could think of was that jump tackle that happened at the 5-yard line where he kind of tried to go for a swing at a strip and swung and missed, and it looked bad. But the guy was down at the 3-yard line. Yeah. Jake, what was it, 3 plays later they finally scored? I mean, if he goes and lights the guy up in midair, he's down at the 5-yard line. Maybe the Chiefs hold him out there and get the field goal instead. Like, that's the only play. And somebody tell me, I'm open to somebody telling me, but this is where I feel like the emotions of Marcus Peters that he elicits in people far outweigh what is actually happening on the field. I'll go back to the Raiders game when the Raiders came back and won that game. They didn't even look to his side of the field that entire drive down the field. They threw every pass to the other side of the field. The Jets game, the one that got him suspended, which I wouldn't have done, I'll admit, Andy Reid did something I wouldn't have done, and it worked out perfectly. They won both games, and Marcus Peters came back and played the game of his life, so Andy Reid was right, I was wrong. But even in that game, I kept trying to say to people, look, it was bad. He shouldn't have thrown the flag. He shouldn't have walked off the field. All that stuff is bad. But in terms of what it actually meant on the field, it meant nothing.
Yes.
It could have meant something if it went to overtime, but it meant nothing. What he did, from a pure football standpoint, it meant nothing.
And even to laugh even more at that it was a Melvin Gordon reception, and he took it to the right side, and he took it down to the four, and he jumped up in the air, and Peters kind of swatted at him with both hands, and he got it down to the four. Very next play, Alan Bailey, tackle for a two-yard loss. So what if he would have stuck him with his shoulder and knocked him back two more yards? Okay, so a loss for two, and then Gordon rushes for four, and then he next play, which is the third play later, gets into the end zone. Like, really, if he stuck his shoulder into him and knocked him out of bounds at the six, like, is that really going to stop Melvin Gordon three plays later getting into the end zone?
Yeah, if you're looking at that and thinking that Marcus is killing the Chiefs, you've been looking for that all week. And you've been waiting for that moment. And he also had a penalty. There was a third down play. I'm actually watching it right now. A third and four where Rivers was pushed out of bounds, and there were offsetting penalties. And one of them was on Marcus. But, and on the redo, so they replay third and four, and the Chargers converted. Is that killing the Chiefs? That drive ended in a punt anyway. Is that killing the Chiefs? Are we going to kill every player every time they get a five-yard penalty now? Because, Larry Duvernay-Tardif had a much more critical five-yard penalty close to the goal line. I think Larry's a really good player. But, look, like, this is – and we were talking a little bit about this off-air. Like, people are so dug in on their perceptions of not just Marcus Peters but Alex Smith and a lot of other things in and outside of the Chiefs, right, in our current world to the point where, I don't think there's a lot of people – Of the people like me that like Marcus Peters and think he's a really good football player, there's a lot of those people who can't admit, yeah, he probably should be a better tackler. You know, right. Like don't be so committed to the strip that you tried a jump strip. You know, like once in a while, get a tackle. And to his credit, he did that on that third down. There's no room for, the guy's either got to be perfect or terrible. And to me, Marcus is one of the best. I don't know. I can't say I watched the other 31 teams enough to make an intelligent, judgment on this. But he's one of the best cornerbacks in the league. I think that's widely recognized. He's got some flaws. he's got some growing up to do. But he is a terrific player and by far their best cornerback.
So I'll try to. I've said it before, but I'll try to rearticulate my stance on Marcus Peters. I have no agenda when it comes to anthem protests, whatever else, whatever this ancillary, the stuff that's on the periphery of the actual game itself.
Yeah.
The agenda I have, I want to see the Kansas City Chiefs go to a Super Bowl in my lifetime. I'm a lifelong Kansas City, and I want to see it for the city. That's the agenda I have. The Chiefs have a better chance of doing that with a productive Marcus Peters on the team.
For sure.
Than they do without him. Marcus Peters is the type of football player that helps you win Super Bowls, in my opinion. Those players are difficult. Those players are wildly talented. They're headstrong. They're emotionally volatile. They're quote-unquote troublemakers from time to time. When things are going poorly for a team, they can be even more of a headache. But if you get them playing the way that they're capable of playing, if you surround them with the right people, they are fundamental to winning at the highest level because they can do things that other players can't, and they have the drive and passion and the knack for big moments that other players don't. They're special.
Yeah.
That's my agenda. My agenda is I want to see Marcus Peters on the field producing for this team. I acknowledge what you said and all those things, And I told you this off the air. I'll go ahead and say it. I sometimes go to Chick-fil-A, and I get a chicken sandwich for no other reason than that I like a chicken sandwich that tastes good. It has nothing to do with my stance for or against gay rights. I understand that people have opinions on that, and they want to make a stand, and I respect your decision to make a stand on that. I choose not to in that venue. In that venue, I want to just enjoy a chicken sandwich in the isolation. I sometimes listen to music by Michael Jackson, and I enjoy it. And I don't condone the things that are alleged to have been done by Michael Jackson in any way, shape, or form. It's purely a stance on the fact that PYT makes me want to move my feet, you know? And maybe I'm trying to live in an overly simple. I'm trying to construct an overly simplistic world around myself.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just like living in a fantasy. And I know I'm wandering into dangerous territory by even mentioning these things. But what I'm mentioning is that I don't. When I watch the football game itself, I want to watch a football game, and I'm my choice to cheer for Marcus Peters. For me individually, I'm going to set aside from my feelings on whether or not people should stand for the national anthem, whether they should play the national anthem before games, whether we should say the word Chiefs at the end of the national anthem or any of that stuff. I just want it to be my stance on what Marcus Peters is as a football player.
Are you moving your feet?
I mean, yeah. I mean, tell me this isn't phenomenal music. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not making any other statements about Michael Jackson, the person, that this song itself is a tremendous song.
It is.
And I'm not suggesting that every person that's critical of Marcus Peters is making it purely based off of other things either. Because there are people that
there's a lot of that, though.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it. I can't for the life of me understand that some, and the people I respect, I want to make that very clear. There are people, yeah, I respect who have NFL chops.
Sure.
Who in the past week have been talking about, man, I wouldn't play him this week. You know, I think maybe they're better without him. You know, that blows my mind. Now, maybe it's easy for me to say that because he responded the way that he did.
Yeah, but every time I heard that, I rolled my eyes,
right,
and thought, you have no idea what you're talking about. And it also, the reason that it shook me that much, that's the wrong word, the reason that it got to me that much is because it was people that otherwise I think do know a lot about the NFL. But to me, that is such an asinine thing to say, that they're better without him. You know, like that. I would agree with that if I didn't think his teammates really liked him and stood up for him and want him as a part of the team and believe in him. Then maybe I would go a little bit further. But if you talk to anybody, especially the other defensive backs, you know, they love that man, you know, and nobody's defending walking off the field and then coming back with no socks and all that stuff. Like, nobody's defending that. He got suspended. You know, that was the price. Andy Reid has not suspended any player, you know, since he's been with the Chiefs, at least. I don't know what he did in Philadelphia. So he got suspended for that. But the idea that Marcus Peters is anything other than the kind of player you need at his best. He's a bit like a Ferrari, right? Like, you know, goes really fast, but, you know, might have some problems. Like, might need to be in
high
the shop.
High maintenance.
Yeah, high maintenance for sure.
Yeah.
But my gosh.
Doesn't perform so well when the conditions get ugly, maybe.
Yes. He would be a bad player to have on a bad team. And
yes.
I think some of that's what you saw in the Jets, yeah, game with the body language, yeah, and all that stuff.
Yep.
And now I really do believe that he's recalibrated and he's the best. But one of the things that they're missing, especially with Eric Berry's injury, is just playmakers, guys that make plays on defense. And Marcus is their best playmaker. And he hadn't been doing that a lot before Saturday night. And if they get that guy, then I do think they have a chance in the playoffs.
I mean, I keep throwing out other names, but I just think there's so many examples of it. Richard Sherman's got a Super Bowl ring, you know, and he's hurt and his team's not going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Aqib Talib's got a Super Bowl ring. He's got way more issues than Marcus Peters.
Oh, my God. By a factor of 12, at least. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'll take him on my team, and you can say what you want about me. I'll take Aqib Talib on my team because I just want to see the team win a Super Bowl. I hope he doesn't commit any crimes in my town or anything like that, you know? But And the list goes on and on. I mean, they're just, you know, that's just the way it is. And that's why Andy Reid is doing whatever he can to get a good Marcus Peters on the field for him. Yep. We'll take a break. More with Sam Mellinger after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a Victory Monday on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John still celebrating the win somewhere with Gary Lezak. We've got Sam Mellinger in studio. Let's move from one flashpoint topic to another. And the performance of Alex Smith. You know, we all get together, we hold hands, and we sing Kumbaya after the Chiefs win. It brings all of us together into agreement on things, which is why Jake and I spent the better part of the 6 o'clock hour shouting each other at the top of our lungs about who's better right now, Phillip Rivers or Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Would you like to break the tie for us?
Yeah. I'm going to piss off Jake.
Oh.
I think Phillip Rivers, his arm is just done. You know, like, I like, you know, prime Phil Rivers, prime Alex Smith, prime Phil Rivers, right? But I just feel like his arm is done. It just floats. And I know, like, the two Chargers games that I've watched from start to finish have been Phil Rivers' worst two games of the season, right?
Right.
What is it, like 6 of his 10 interceptions?
Yep. Yep.
You know, against the Chiefs. So I recognize that I'm biased in that way.
Yeah,
but
just do a little cherry picking.
No, yes, I totally recognize that. And I appreciate
it. To be fair, he's thrown more picks against the Chiefs than Alex Smith has thrown all season.
Okay, and what we're doing here is we are taking Alex Smith's best season, right? This is the only season
that matters to me right now.
Right, but this is his career season. We're taking his best season, and we're cherry picking it. Like,
but so, the conversation is
right now.
Yes,
but to go into that, like, what makes him right now? His past. That's a part of who you are. That's a part of
that's
who
part.
Our. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it, you know.
So like the 8 losses in a row that Phillip Rivers has to the Chiefs is part of his past,
or all the AFC West that he's won, or the fact that, you know, he's 12 years.
I mean,
12 years
Smith has won the last two. AFC
12
West.
Years with 20
has
touchdown
won this one
passes.
Yet.
Man, okay.
5
Fair
seasons
point.
With 30-plus touchdown passes. I mean, we're cherry-picking Alex Smith at his very best.
No, right, but that's what's happening right now.
The question isn't body of work. So can we?
But who you are, who you are is your past.
Sam is our guest. Can we let him finish his thought, please?
But if we need this on TV.
Jake is just throwing a remote up into the air. He's thrown his headphones off, and he's walked out of the control room.
He is effing out. But if it's career, like, there's no question, right? Phil Rivers has had a much better career than Alex Smith.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that.
Nobody's arguing that point. But I watched those passes float, and it just seems, again, I know that I've watched him, the two Chargers games I've watched from start to finish was the worst two games of the year, but it seems to me that he thinks he has the same arm that he did 5 years ago. And he's making some throws that probably 5 years ago were good decisions, and he can get the ball downfield. But if the conversation is right now, then Alex Smith is having a better season. He's factually having a better season behind a worse offensive line. You know, Phil Rivers has Keenan Allen. Say what you will about Tyreek Hill. And Keenan Allen, if we're talking about pass, certainly, like, Keenan Allen's probably a more accomplished. You know, I think widely recognized as a better receiver than Tyreek Hill. You know, he's got talent around him. I don't think it's a huge gap, but I do think Alex Smith is better. I don't think Jake's coming back. I think he is gone.
Oh, he's so mad. All I was trying to say was let the man finish his point. That's all. Jake, the floor is yours if you'd like to rebut. Now, Sam's done with his point. I promise not to interrupt you. If you'd like to come back in and give a rebuttal, the floor is yours. Jake has pulled the Marcus Peters, and he has walked off the field.
So
I don't know whether or not he has any socks on at this point.
Right. I also don't know how relevant this is, like Phillip Rivers versus Alex Smith. I thought Alex Smith played really well yesterday on Saturday. Look, like, I think I don't remember any passes more than 10, 15 yards downfield except for the Tyreek Hill touchdown. So if you want to nitpick that and talk about, you know, here he comes. If you want to nitpick that and say, you know, Captain Checkdown thing, you know, that's fine. But he was 23 of 30, and I'm guessing 4, 5, 6 of those incomplete passes hit receivers' hands. Now, some of those could have been, especially the Kareem Hunt, you know, should have been touchdown, you know, could have been better thrown. But he had some nice plays, like the Kareem Hunt touchdown, the one that wasn't called back. That was a split-second decision made between, you know, you got to read the defender if he's going to follow the running back out of the backfield or come up on the quarterback. Alex made the right read, the right throw. The Tyreek Hill touchdown was...
I'm sorry, hang on, honey. Don't give that phone to him because I'm afraid he's going to throw it over the balcony. My wife had to... I left my phone at home. She just brought it in, and she just gave it to Jake, and now Jake is going to throw it in the toilet. So, sorry. I'm going to...
Going out the toilet, dude.
Thank you. I love you.
By the way, I'm aware he's our guest.
Don't get so sensitive. Jake, look, you walked out. I'm just trying to give we get so wound up in this emotionally that we start shouting over each other. Sam finished his point. Now the floor is yours, and I promise not to interrupt you.
I book him every week, so I'm aware that Sam Mellinger is our guest.
Manners.
I'm good.
That's all. We just have to have some manners.
No, you, of all people, talking about interrupting people. Really.
I promise not to interrupt you.
No, I'm good. I'm good. My opinion is not going to change. Phillip Rivers is a better quarterback than Alex Smith, period. Period. That's my opinion. I'm not going to change it. Alex Smith won the game with his team. Alex Smith threw the ball deep once. Complete. Touchdown. Awesome. They win. But to sit there, he had a better game Saturday night than Alex Smith. That doesn't mean he's a better quarterback. He the last 7 weeks going into this game Saturday, they had the best offense in the league. The last 7 weeks. I don't care who they played. Some of the teams they played and they beat the Chiefs. Jets, you know, terrible teams. Giants, they beat the Chiefs. They beat Alex Smith. So I'm going to go ahead and weigh a little bit. Phillip Rivers passed with 12 seasons over 20 touchdown passes, 5 seasons over 30 touchdown passes. Ad nauseum, how many times he's thrown over 4,000 yards? That goes into who he is today. When he comes to Kansas City, he has nightmares. He has absolute nightmares at Arrowhead. He does. He comes in and he wets himself. He did it again Saturday. Thank goodness. Now, the fact that we're sitting here on a Monday after a big Chiefs win and debating whether who's a better quarterback, Alex Smith or Phillip Rivers, to me is a waste of time. Because the better team won on Saturday. That doesn't mean the better quarterback won. The better quarterback that night won. It doesn't matter what you tell me. I'm not going to be convinced that just because Alex Smith had his team won on Saturday, that he's better than a Hall of Fame quarterback, fringe Hall of Fame quarterback. It's not going to work. I'm not going to buy in. That's my opinion. It's not going to change.
I didn't interrupt you. I gave you your whole rant.
Do you want to interrupt me, Sam?
No,
I'm good. I'm not going to change my mind either. I think Alex Smith at this moment is better. I think Phillip Rivers had a much better career. You know, I think Alex Smith for, you know, the captain checkdown thing is averaging more yards per attempt than Phil Rivers. But whatever. I don't know why it's important either.
Look at the spray chart for Saturday. I mean,
was short except for Tyreek Hill.
It's the only pass downfield.
Yeah, but I'll tell you,
it won. It worked.
Phil Rivers should have been throwing just short. Because
right.
He's got nothing on that arm.
So that's the point. That's the point that I would like to make. And look, I think we can have some decorum here. We can all disagree. It doesn't mean, you know, it's fine. But I think it's also fine for us to point out some facts to back up our arguments. I find it. Try to find a word that's not going to be incendiary and get everybody upset. I take issue with this idea that the quarterback that vastly outplayed the other quarterback, we're going to criticize that quarterback because he didn't throw the ball downfield more when the other quarterback ruined his team's chances of winning the game by throwing the ball downfield stupidly. Wow. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure, and I'd have to go back and watch the All-22, I'm pretty sure that the Chargers probably never left a single high safety with one-on-one coverage for Tyreek Hill the rest of the game. I'd be willing to bet that if they did, you could count it on one hand, because they got burned so badly that they didn't leave that play open again. And so the Chiefs took all the other stuff that was available, handing the ball to their awesome running back who's second in the league now, throwing the short passes, making sure they didn't take any stupid chances that might have given the game back to the Chargers. And so, yeah, sometimes I get like, we all get frustrated that Alex Smith maybe doesn't take more chances sometimes. But if we didn't see the downside to a quarterback who's willing to take stupid chances right in front of our own face in this game, it baffles me that we just watched a quarterback throw stupid passes yesterday or Saturday to lose the game for his team. And our takeaway was, I wish our quarterback did that more.
Yeah.
That's the part that I just don't get. And like you said, at the end of the day, if you look at the season numbers, and it's always been, well, Alex Smith, we've all like held up his record to defend him. And, well, but his numbers aren't as good. Well, now his numbers are as good and actually better than Phillip Rivers, and his record's better.
Yeah.
And the narrative going into the game was not that Alex Smith has a way better supporting cast. The narrative going in, well, Keenan Allen, Hunter Renfrow, they got a good running back, they got a good offensive line, they got the two best pass rushers, the best pass rushing tandem in the division, if not in the entire AFC, and Alex Smith's going to have to contend with that pass rush. And so it wasn't like there was this big narrative, well, all of the surrounding supporting cast is better on Alex Smith's side than it is on Phillip Rivers. Nobody was saying that before the game. But then after the game, he goes and outperforms him, and it's, well, you know, his team's better, so he won the game.
You know, hey, let's be fair. I haven't said that one time.
Okay. Well, you said with this team, I thought that was implied. If you didn't mean that, I'm sorry for putting words in your mouth. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
I also, not to like hijack the point here a little bit, but you mentioned the pass rushers, and you know, we're going to talk about the quarterbacks, and that's cool. That's important and all that stuff. But the Chiefs' offensive line played maybe their best game,
terrific,
of the season,
terrific,
and to allow just one sack, and that was that the Melvin Ingram. You know, it's kind of an inside stunt, which the Chiefs have had some problems with, and it was a good rush, you know, whatever. But that was the only one. I don't even remember. There was another play where Joey Bosa, Alex Smith kind of saved Mitchell Schwartz. Bosa had a good rush on him and could have had a sack, but Alex stepped up and avoided the sack. But the offensive line was terrific, not just protecting Alex, but
running, you know, the ball.
Some holes. Kareem Hunt did a lot of that on his own. The first guy, like when he, other than he had this like 5-6 game stretch where it seemed like he kind of hit a rookie wall a little bit, right? Like didn't have the same juice, but he's got it back. It looks like September again. And the first guy just never seems to get him. It's incredible.
But, yeah. But they are actually winning at the point of attack.
Yeah.
On the offensive and defensive lines, the last two games, you know, and if they do that, they actually have a chance.
Yep.
To make some noise. Yep. We'll take a break. Back with more with Sam Mellinger after this on Sports Radio 810 WH. So Tyreek Hill is, I think, the seventh leading receiver in terms of yardage in the NFL. Sam and I were talking about this a little bit during the commercial break. He's a unicorn. I mean, he's a unique individual on the football field, in that he doesn't look like your traditional wide receiver. He doesn't run many routes other than a go and a wide receiver screen. But I do think it's worth pointing out, Sam, that this is his first year as a purely as a wide receiver.
As a full-time wide receiver.
He spent time last year in the wide receiver position, sometimes playing in that kind of hybrid running back role. Now he's playing wide out. And he's got a receiving yards and 7 touchdowns, 69 catches, by the way. It will be interesting to see his evolution. Can he become, I mean, because look, he's looking at a possible 1,200-yard receiving campaign anyway, but can he start to grow as a receiver that does start to run other routes, so to speak, and be a guy that just gets open, you know, on a 7-yard hook pattern or you know, whatever. I'll be interested to see how he evolves as a player. You know, I mean, he's already pretty darn good,
and he's only 23. You know, if you look at just by yardage, like you said, he's seventh. And you have to go all the way down to 23rd, Devin Funchess, to find the next 23-year-old or younger. And, you know, so he's going to get better. And I think he can do that stuff. And I think that his speed gives him an advantage on, you know, cleaning up and sharpening, you know, some of those other routes, because corners have to play off him a little bit. And I think that, you know, it's not as easy to run a go route as he makes it look. He's really good. You know, if you compare him to last year, just the way that he uses his hands, the way he uses timing, the way he sets a cornerback up. Like, you know, Casey Hayward is one of the best cornerbacks in football. And, you know, he's dealing with a hamstring. I get that. But if you watch that go route, Tyreek set him up perfectly and got him off balance. And I don't even know if Hayward got a hand on him, which was obviously part of the problem. But my point is, like, Tyreek is you know, sort of learning how to do that stuff, to play momentum and to use timing. And I think he's going to be, I don't know, I don't want to overstate this, but I really think he's going to be one of the best five receivers in football very soon. Just because, I mean, he's so talented. The only knock is he's short, but he's got really good athleticism. He tracks the ball terrifically. He's good on the sideline, getting his feet in. When's the last time he dropped a pass? You know, I mean, he had
it's
one.
It's been a while.
The one
dropped
on
a
Saturday.
Punt.
Yeah, well.
Well, he didn't.
Are Daniel, you talking about Saturday?
Daniel Sorensen.
I mean, it went on Sorensen's back. You know, the
you were at the game, Jake, so you probably didn't get to see that.
I did not.
Yeah, there was a replay. Yeah, it went off Sorensen's back. There was a play toward the right sideline where a ball hit Tyreek's hands. You know, but that ball was really underthrown. You know, you don't. Travis Kelce has drops. You know, like he's had a few the last few weeks. I don't.
Couple
remember,
bad ones. No,
yeah,
just
I don't remember Tyreek Hill drops
hands.
Like that.
Yeah,
you know. I think he's going to be one of the best five receivers in football very, very soon.
Before we go to break, I had this discussion at the game on Saturday. At what point in time, he literally is their only weapon at wide receiver. Really, a weapon.
Right, at wide out, yeah.
A true weapon. Mm-hmm. Are you putting that at risk, running him out there in the punt team? I mean, at what point in time do you, hey, we need to maybe, I mean, at this point in time, week 16, probably, you know it's not going to happen, but going into next season and moving forward, I mean, because it seems like teams are punting away from him. And
that makes him a weapon right there, though. You know what I mean? Like I think he is a weapon because
sure,
if they
but you're
kick
risking
the ball
that
out of
only weapon. You're risking the only threat on your offense.
Yeah, I get that. I wonder if the answer is something like what the Steelers do with Antonio Brown, where they sort of like pinch hit him, it seems like.
Right, and know, I think that would be a perfect scenario. Yeah. You really need a good field position late in the game, or you really need something to spark the team and a big pop, then you throw him out there.
He used to do kick returns, right? Didn't he do kick returns last year?
A little bit.
And they've took him off that.
And DeAnthony Thomas has been a huge disappointment in the kick return game.
And Akeem Hunt.
Usually they bring it out of the end zone, down to the 15, like every time. Every time.
Yep.
So are you free to stick around for a little bit longer, Sam, or do you got to go?
Let's do it.
Okay, cool. Let's. We might talk a little college hoops, by the way. There was actually decent action as well this weekend there. And this is my favorite song from the Basement Tapes. I don't know why, but it is. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake, are we friends again?
Oh, we're always friends. Now, whether I like you or not, it's a different story.
Wait, you know what? This is actually perfect, because Sam and I were talking about the fact that, like how do you think Marcus Peters' teammates feel about him, you know? And I think that some of them love him. Some of them probably don't like him. And then the majority of them like him, but get really annoyed by his crap sometimes.
That sounds fair.
And I feel like that way about most of my friends.
Well, there you go.
And Jake, you clearly feel that way about me.
Yeah, we're friends. We can categorize that. I've known you long enough to call you a friend.
You don't have a choice, man.
Ah, damn it.
Everybody got their Christmas shopping done, by the way?
Nope.
Mostly.
Haven't even started.
The one I don't, like my wife.
And just, I saw your tweet over the weekend.
Oh
my
god! Oh, what would you? I didn't see it. What did you tweet about that?
Like the biggest mismatch in my marriage is I'm so easy to shop for,
right?
And my wife is so much better at giving gifts.
Yeah,
you know, like I'm terrible at it. I suck. I'm really terrible at it. And I feel like her, like, I don't mean this as a pun, but her gift of gift giving would be much better if she had like a more difficult target than me.
Right.
Like me, like bottle of bourbon, you know, couple of t-shirts, you know, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like her, it's like, I need to remember that thing that she said she wanted on July 28th. And I don't, you know, but said it subtly.
Yeah.
And I'm terrible at it. I'm terrible at it. If I had her gift of gift giving, I would feel a lot more comfortable, but it's just, I don't know what I got nothing, man.
Have you learned anything from watching her do it over the years? Have you improved any by like taking cues from her?
Yeah, it's got to be thoughtful. Yeah, like I keep meaning to have like a file on my phone, a notes file of like, so I can remember on July 28th when she was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I wish I had a blah, blah, blah. And she doesn't mean that like to set me up
She's
for Christmas.
She's not fishing for it. Yeah. She just.
But if I remembered that and gave it to her on Christmas, I like, you know, that would be a power move.
See, I'm in a very similar boat. My wife is a tremendous gift giver, and she comes from a family of tremendous gift givers. Yeah. Like, they're all good at it.
They're the worst.
Like, my father-in-law can shop for women's clothes. Like, he buys...
Really?
Yeah, he buys my... He's trying That's to teach amazing. Me how to do it. He buys clothes for my wife, and it's like, it's great stuff. And she loves it, and she wears it, and she gets genuinely excited when she, you know... Like That's most, crazy. Like it's yeah. like no way in hell would I even try that, right?
Right.
It just seems like you're treading into extremely dangerous territory when you do something like that. And so, and so my wife and her family, they're good at giving gifts. They enjoy it, and they don't want you to tell them what you want. Like you know, in terms of like now, maybe you mentioned something somewhere during the course of the year.
Yeah.
But they don't want you to come out and like give them a list. Like you know, because they want to surprise you.
Yep.
They want to surprise you with how because they know how good their gift is going to be, so they want to surprise you with it. Ugh. And my family, like, I'm not a good gift giver, and my family's not real good at it either. I'm sorry, my family's listening. You know, like. My family they know it too. Like my family's like, tell me what you want, and I will go buy that.
Yep.
And I get where my wife's family comes from because they're like, no. Where's the fun in that?
Mm-hmm.
You can just go buy what you want then. You know, like I want to get you something you didn't even know you wanted type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they do it, and it's I've been taking notes. You know, ever since I met my wife, I've been like taking these notes, and I've improved like this much.
you know.
Just a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I just, that whole, like, I want to get you something you didn't even know you wanted. Like, me too, man, you know? But I want to be able to, like, jump off a cliff and fly. And I'm not going to be able to do that. So I'd rather give me a parachute.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the downside risk is, you know, you get them something that they didn't want
it's
at
a risk.
All.
Yeah.
You know? And but they, like, props to my in-laws for that. They get it. But, I'll tell you what, my family knows how to drink a lot and scream at each other on holidays, so we got them there.
There we go.
did you have any time to take in the college basketball over the weekend?
Not much. That's not the answer you want.
No. It's a legit answer. Yeah. I mean, first of all, you were at the Chiefs game, so you couldn't be watching the KU
I didn't
game.
Have that split screen.
Yeah. Jake, did you get to see? Oh, you were at the Chiefs game. You didn't get to see. Did you watch any of the KU games? Did you go back and watch
it? I went back and watched it. I did not see it live, obviously. It was in the Arrowhead Stadium. But, I mean, what can you say? Speed came up big, man. Big.
I thought, and again, I did see, I didn't watch the game live. I did see some of it a little bit later. But I thought that Jesse Newell wrote a really interesting piece about this. I know I'm kind of plugging the company here, but, you know, just about how one of the reasons that KU has been so successful for so long before the Elite Eight is that they always win the close games.
Yeah.
You know, their record in close games was something like 84-30 or something like that in games decided by less than 10 points.
Yeah, I saw his article on that.
Just an incredible number.
And you're plugging the company, and I'll plug our company. Jesse Newell will be on the program today with Fran Petro.
Yeah, and I hope he talks about that. And the two losses that they had, right? I don't remember the scores. Well, the Arizona State score was exactly 10, and the Washington score, it was less than 10, right? So they're losing these games that they're in. And, you know, maybe, look, like, I don't know what you think about Nebraska. If you think that's a team that, KU should go up there and roll. I tend to think that going to, you know, a live environment on somebody else's campus, their home arena, and winning there, you know, is a pretty good thing no matter what. If they're a Power 5 school, if they're a decent program, I think Tim Miles is a good coach, all that stuff. So, you know, maybe there's something now, you know, like the confidence, the ability to pull something like that out that, can get them rolling a little bit.
I had people tell me I shouldn't, you know, this win's nothing to be proud of. I don't know what it means to be proud of a win or what it doesn't mean to be proud of a win.
That's such a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be proud of this win. It's a freaking win on the road.
Sure.
Walk away and be okay, yeah.
It kind of goes back to my thing about the Chiefs winning this division. Do I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl? No. Do I think they're better than the Steelers or the Patriots? No. But is it something to be proud of? Yeah. You win the division. It's hard to win. It's hard to win an NFL division.
And look,
it's a hard thing to do.
And when you're dealing with the Kansas Jayhawks, I kind of have faith in the guy who's leading the team, that he kind of probably has a team where he wants them to be. Because it seems like right around this time of year, every year, it's right before they buy in. And then you see that switch.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, when people are like, oh, you know, they almost lost their third game in a row. I'm like, you know what? I'm all right, because I think Bill Self knows what he's doing, and he's gonna have this. Even if they would have lost that game,
yeah,
that's probably right where he wanted them to be.
Well, the guy that said this to me, I was thinking to myself, well, what college football or college basketball program is he a fan of that he thinks his team would just turn their nose up at a win, you know, on the road against the Power 5 team? And he goes, well, I'm a North Carolina fan. Well, I don't know. Maybe I guess you would. I don't know if you're a North Carolina fan. You know, good for you. I would think that I bet you Roy Williams wins a game at Nebraska, it's a close game, would say, you know, hey, these aren't as easy as people think. Yeah. You know, I would take it.
I could give a about North Carolina right now.
And they just beat Minnesota a week before.
They beat Boston College
on that court. You know, I don't know. I mean, that looked like
saying they're a great team, but I think they got a chance to be a tournament team.
Yeah, and winning that game on that floor, that's not winning like at Cameron or whatever. But geez, man.
So Gary Bedore, I'll plug your company as well. He tweeted out, this year's trip to Nebraska made KU media members nostalgic for past games there. Yes, many of us miss NU. New arena is a palace. A area around it is beautiful and thriving. Hospitality galore. All class. Like, I was trying to tell my kids, like, the fight song for KU, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They actually officially changed the words, didn't they? At some point, technically, didn't they, like, change it? And does anyone on earth know what those new words are? Mm-hmm. Something about a Red Raider, like, that no one cares about?
No. Yep. Hustle corn. Yeah. Hustle the corn huskers well.
Yeah. Twist the tiger's tail. Right. You know, and I realize that the rivalry between Nebraska and Kansas is one-sided on both fronts, sure. Right? Like, it's not like these have been real competitive. But it did kind of have me thinking, like, man, you know, it's a shame.
Yeah.
It's just a shame.
I think about this a lot. You know, sort of, we all sort of pine for what we grew up with. And for me, that was the Big 8 and, you know, maybe the first part of the Big 12. And so, like, that stuff, like, gets to me. And, like, I really genuinely miss all those games. And you know, like, when Iowa State, like, Johnny Orr and all those games. But, you know, time moves on and new kids have new memories and all that stuff. But does anybody believe that kids that are 8 years old right now, you know, when the Big 12 changes in 20 years, are going to be like, man, I really grew up watching Kansas and TCU or, you know, K-State and West Virginia. And
it's a real shame that West Virginia's, you know, not in this league anymore.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up with.
Like, there was, like, something real that was lost in all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
You know, all the history. I miss it forever. I'll be an old man on this. I'll miss it forever. I totally get, and not to get into a whole big left turn, but, you know, why Missouri left and all that stuff, I get it. You know, they were looking out for their own self-interest, and that's what they should do. But something was really, really lost, and it's made college sports a little bit less interesting.
I mean, you could drive up to Lincoln, Nebraska and go to a game. I mean, I did that when I was in college, both football and basketball.
Yep.
You could drive to Columbia, Missouri and go to a game. You know, you're not going to Morgantown, West Virginia. You know, I guess you can go down to TCU and stuff like that, but it's just not the same. And maybe we need to be like Kylo Ren and let the past die. Kill it if you have to. That's in the trailer, so that's not a spoiler. All right? What was in the trailer? Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
Will you? Do you care?
I haven't seen a Star Wars movie in a long time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
None of the new ones?
Yeah.
You don't have to apologize. I'm not mad.
Just, not my thing.
You feel like you have to apologize to people? I do, yeah. When you meet a Star Wars nerd like me?
And I don't like, you know, this is such a ridiculous thing to say, but one of my best friends is a Star Wars nerd. Like, I'm not, like, anti like Star Wars.
I got a lawyer who loves Star Wars.
Yeah. But... God, I really did say that. It's true, though. It's true. It's not my thing, man. It's not my thing. God bless you.
You know the first sign of a Star Wars hater is when he says, I got a best friend who likes Star Wars. Dead giveaway, Sam.
I've been found.
Just when I thought we could be friends.
I know.
I've only seen it twice so far. And that was because my son wanted to, okay? Son, you want to go to see Star Wars for your birthday, right? No, Dad. Want to go to the bounce house. Star Wars it is. All right.
You seen it twice. They opened on Thursday. Just, you know.
Wow.
It's impressive.
Well,
I applaud that.
Hey.
I'm not making fun. I am applauding that.
We
it's impressive.
Work for a phenomenal boss. Who loves Star Wars even more than me.
The funny thing is your son has seen it twice since Open Thursday.
And I know, look, I was not arguing with him whatsoever, but I asked him, what do you want to do for your birthday? I want to go see Star Wars. I was like, you know we're going to see it on Thursday. He goes, yeah, I want to see it again. I said, okay. Bam.
It's respectable.
Done.
There you go.
I'm not going to argue this point any further.
Good
Let's
for
go.
Him.
What were we talking about? Okay, KU.
Is that your default setting?
KU?
You're like, what are we talking about? KU.
KU, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Star Wars, KU, Chiefs win, it's all, what a weekend. What a weekend. It's funny, though, I still got a sense from a lot of KU fans that felt like there was a lot of flaws still being exposed in that game. You know, I mean, and look, if Svi Mykhailiuk doesn't hit that three-pointer, ifs and buts, candy and nuts, all that stuff, but if he doesn't, we're talking about a third straight loss. Are we talking about crisis in Lawrence, Kansas at that point? Or are we still saying, no, Bill Self has it all figured out? Because you wrote a column that said maybe there are some things to really be worried about.
I do. Yeah, I actually, like, every year I roll my eyes. Like, one year I even, like, wrote a column in December as if it was from March. And, like, oh, remember all those idiots that were, you know, worried in December? Like, I always roll my eyes at the annual freakout. But I do think that there's some fundamental problems with this team. And what's kind of tricky is that the solutions just aren't available right now. Like, if Billy Preston becomes eligible and Bill Self, you know, is apparently optimistic that he'll be eligible by Big 12 play, which the Big 12 opener is December 29th against Texas, at Texas. You know, so if Billy Preston is eligible in a couple weeks, then a lot of these problems kind of go away. If Sylvia, is it D'Souza? Is that how we say his last name?
D'Souza, I believe.
D'Souza.
Yeah.
You know, if he becomes eligible, like, that's exactly what they need, is some size, just some bulk. You don't want Mitch Lightfoot to be your second best big man. No offense to Mitch Lightfoot. But if Billy Preston and Sylvia D'Souza become eligible, then a lot of these problems are fixed, you know, because then you can play big. You know, they haven't played big more than what, I mean, actually, Bill Self literally said we haven't played big, which means, you know, two bigs in the game at the same time, for a single minute in a meaningful game all season. It's because they just can't. So if that happens, then a lot of these problems go away. So it's kind of a weird, like, in between thing that they're in right now. Because, you know, just tread water, keep your heads above water, and hope that those solutions come. But if those guys aren't eligible, then I think there's absolutely some major problems with this roster.
Sam Cunliffe played 2 minutes in the game. I know this because I checked the box score and because when he was getting ready to check in, my Twitter feed was alive and buzzing with mentions that he's about to make his KU debut. I will admit that I had the Chiefs game on the big TV. I had the KU game on the smaller TV. I don't remember seeing him on the court. I don't remember seeing him do anything. Now, again, I was distracted. But he played 2 minutes and did not register a stat.
Yes.
Does that mean anything, or is that just first game? You know, I don't think he's going to be a big difference maker for this team.
No.
But he can be a guy
all.
Off the bench, right?
So just as we were just talking, like, Billy Preston and Sylvia D'Souza are exactly what this team needs. Another shooter, a guard, is exactly what this team doesn't need. And, you know, right. Again, I thought Bill said it, like, pretty straightforward the other day about you know, Sam Cunliffe is not better than the five guards that we have playing right now. And he's just not. Like, he's a pretty good athlete. He's a pretty good shooter, but, you know, he's not as good of an athlete as Legere Vick. You know, he's probably not as good of a shooter as Fee. You know, he's certainly not the scorer or all-around player Devontae Graham. You know, I just, it's not, that's, he's important in that he's a body. And he's a human being. He's a scholarship, you know, Division I player. So where he helps is, and Devontae Graham played 38 minutes the other day, so maybe this is a bad example, but Devontae Graham has now, including the Nebraska game, sat out a total of 3 minutes in their last four games. He's played like 40, 40, 39, and 38 minutes. That wears on you.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, if Sam Cunliffe can give you 8 minutes, 10 minutes, where he doesn't kill you, and just let Devontae Graham, Legere Vick, you know, those guys, like, sort of take a rest, it not only helps them stay fresher, but it helps them, you know, put that extra pressure on the ball, sprint out a little bit harder on him, you know, you can just play with some more energy. That's where Sam Cunliffe is going to help. It's not anything that he's going to do individually, though, in my opinion.
Okay, the other game that was very noteworthy was in Wichita. Oklahoma 91, Wichita State 83. And Trey Young goes for 29 in this one and 10 assists in this game. This kid is the real deal. Holyfield, Wichita, that's a good Wichita State team. They beat them at home, and they were up by 15 during stretches in the second half of that game. What should we be saying about Oklahoma at this point?
Trey Young is one of the best players in the country. He was a really good recruit, but I think he was like the number 15, something like that, recruit.
That sounds about right.
You know, I don't know that anybody expected this. I'm just looking at his numbers right now. He's averaging 29 and 9 assists.
He would be the leading scorer in the history of the Big 12 at the pace he's at right now.
That is incredible. A little bit of a chucker, averaging 18.4 shots a game, but good for him. He's one of the best players in the country. I mean, I think he's better at this point than anybody would have expected. And I like that Wichita State team, too. I think their pieces fit together. I've watched them a couple times. I watched them against Oklahoma State, and I forgot the other game I watched them against. But, you know, that's like a tough, you know, it's a typical Wichita State team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tough. The pieces fit together. They play well together. To go and win, you know, on that floor, particularly with a freshman point guard like that, is pretty remarkable. You know, like in any result in college basketball in December, you know, you can kind of take with a grain of salt, but that was an incredible result.
Rivals had Trey Young as the 16th player in the country.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I mean,
29 and 10. That's, he just got a season average, basically.
That's right. It was an average game for him.
Yeah. You know? No, what an absolute animal. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. What can we look forward to this week, Sam? We didn't get into any Royals hot stove. I didn't really feel like there was anything too substantial, anything I missed Royals-wise we need to touch
not
on?
Not at all. Okay. But actually on my list is to do something about the Royals, because they've got a really fascinating thing facing them right now of you know, how deep to get into this rebuild. And, you know, Dayton has talked about getting the payroll down to 110. And to do that, they've got to shed money, not just not add people, but they need to shed a lot of players. And I really wonder, I think he's got this inner struggle a little bit with Danny Duffy and what to do about that. because I when's the last time a player like went so public, so emotional, so, you know, at least in my view, genuine about, you know, bury me a Royal, I don't want to go anywhere, you know, all that stuff. Like, when those rumors are coming out, like in real time, you have a star player reacting like that. And Dayton, no matter what he thinks, and he kind of bristles when people say this about him, but I think it's absolutely true. He's very sentimental. And I think that's going to be a really hard decision for him on a personal level.
Interesting stuff, man. Chiefs going to take care of business on Sunday, you think?
I would think so.
Yep.
I don't think the Dolphins are any good. I know what they did against the Patriots. You know, I guess that was last week now, but I don't think they're very good. I think the Chiefs are going to win two games. You know, they're going to finish 10-6, have the 4 seed. I would think probably win that wild card and then lose in the division round.
Will we get to see Patrick Mahomes at Mile High?
I hope so.
Because that game doesn't matter.
Yeah, I hope
Wouldn't
so. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Now, I think Blair, who I think will probably be on with Seren also this week, right? Blair said something the other night that it won't be totally decided. The playoff seeding won't be totally decided. They could have the division sewed up if they beat the Dolphins or if the Chargers lose to, I forget who they're playing. Are they playing the Raiders this week? Or is that the last week of the season?
I have not looked yet.
Anyway, but if they can't move from you know, they're not going to be able to move up to three, but if they can't move up to three or down to five, or they can't move down to five, then if that doesn't matter for playoff seeding, then I would think absolutely. Not just to see Pat, but like this is what the Chiefs did. What was it, 3 years ago? They played at San Diego, and the game didn't mean anything. Chase Daniel played. They almost won that game.
Yep.
You know, it was a field goal at the end. And, you know, I think that's the smart football thing to do. Plus, it would just be so I'm dying to see that kid. I'm dying to see him.
It's like the best of both worlds.
Yep.
Teams going to the playoffs. Yep. We get to see Patrick Mahomes, not because they had to bench Alex Smith, but because they get to bench him.
And now in that situation, it would probably be Patrick Mahomes not throwing to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, you know, and maybe behind a little bit of a makeshift offensive line. But still, I want to see that kid in just, you know, as close to a real game as possible.
Chargers are at the Jets, so that could be interesting. The Chiefs just need to win the game, and if they win, it doesn't matter what the Chargers do.
Yes.
Now, the interesting part, the only team, and I don't know what the tiebreaker is, but they could theoretically catch the Jags
and
tie them. The Jags are at 10 wins, the Chiefs are at 8, so they could theoretically both end with 10 wins.
I think it would be conference record.
Is it conference record, I think. So,
the Chiefs have a pretty good conference record.
The Chiefs are 6-4 in the conference right now. The Jags are 9-2.
Never mind.
So they can't. I don't think they can pass.
Yeah.
So I do think if they win the game on Sunday, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
We'll double check that. But that'd be great if we got to see that. They got to take care of business first. We can't take anything for granted. We know that. Sam, good luck with your Christmas shopping for your wife.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for spending an extra half hour with us today.
Send me ideas, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mellinger Minutes will be open, right?
I got an idea for you, buddy. I'm not going to say it on the air, but I got one for you.
All right. Look forward to hearing that. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.